south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. Now, on the last show, I didn't quite finish up my bit about dogs here in Latin America. And speaking of which, for you expats living a bit out in the county or way out in the boonies, a dog or two can be your best defense against petty robberies and break-ins. And in that respect, any dog is better than no dog, except don't think your little 6-pound poodle or chow chow is going to be much of a deterrent. Bad boys looking to break into your house or your garage, anywhere, in Latin America or otherwise, really have no fear of small yiping dogs. They and everybody knows that small dogs will yipe and holler any time of day for whatever reason. And basically, nobody pays attention and nobody cares. In fact, just drive through any middle-class Latin American neighborhood and you'll hear dogs barking all the time. Does that mean there's robberies going on? Nope. But the fact is, people down here are so used to small dogs yiping that nobody goes on high alert when dogs are barking, even if it's 3 a.m. You know, it's like car burglar alarms going off. Nobody gives a damn. Now, 30 years ago, when a car burglar alarm was something special, everybody stopped when they heard one. But these days, they don't even rate a yawn. Well, that's how folks down here view small, yiping dogs. If bad boys have a mind to, they're liable to break in anyhow. However, if you've got a dog that's 50 pounds or so, there isn't a Latin person I've ever met who wouldn't go across the street or farther to avoid it. Now, as I mentioned in a past show, I think, there are two kinds of dog breeds that Latins are particularly terrified of, and that's Rottweilers and Dobermans. Especially Dobermans who've had their ears fixed and pointed. And yes, every vet down here will do that little bit of cosmetic surgery for your Doberman if you've got the dough. There's a lot of lag time in the poo-pooing of that procedure. This is Latin America, you know. Now, I know some of you wannabes and gonna-bes living up there in a big city in Cleveland or Cincinnati. You too just might be scared to death of Dobermans and Rottweilers. Since up in the States they're too big to be city dogs, most first world people who say they're terrified of them have only heard the bad rumors and have seen bad press on TV. In fact, very few people in the first world have ever even petted a Doberman or a Rottweiler. So let me set you straight here. I've had no less than 4 Dobermans and 3 Rottweilers. All of them down here in Latin America in various countries. And I'll tell you this, if you get them as puppies, they'll be the best, nicest, and most gentle dogs in the world. I mean, to you, your friends, and your family, that is. But everyone else going by or in the neighborhood will be terrified, or at least leery and on the alert. And when the word gets out in the neighborhood that you've got one of those, you will not have casual visitors at your front door. Which is a good thing, in fact, an excellent thing. Exactly the kind of response you want people to have. I mean, that's the point, isn't it? Now, of course, if you live in a gated community or a residential tower, you won't need a dog at all, unless you're into pets. But, like I said, if you have a lone standing house a ways out of the city or in the boonies, you'll find that people out there, the ones that have larger sized dogs, don't get picked on for robberies. Oh, and while we're talking about it, you'll find out in Latin America, since you're a gringo and you're probably living in an upper middle class neighborhood anyway, you'll find that when there are home robberies and break-ins, they almost never occur when someone's home. In fact, the only cases I've ever heard in my 20-something years of being down here is when a stupid cleaning lady or gardener answers the door and lets somebody in who is purporting to be a UPS delivery man or flower delivery service or whatever. Even so, that's rare, and the cases that I know of, it's always been upper-class Latins who've been hit with that scam. I don't know a single gringo or expat that's ever happened to. Now, I do personally know of a case where it's happened to a pretentious, upscale, know-it-all, show-off, asswipe, classist, bigot, Latin who owned a radio station that I worked at. But in his case, everyone agrees that it was just karma. And even after that, he continued his pretentious, asswipe, caustic ways. So, once again, that makes a strong case for having a low profile and not being a dick. But do remember one thing. With most of the break-ins that occur in Latin American houses, it's usually because the gardener or the cleaning lady had loose lips. Not that it's an inside job. Unless, of course, you have bodyguards, then it's almost always an inside job. Another reason to skip the pretentious bodyguard bit. Anyway, like I've mentioned before, cleaning ladies and gardeners and such come from families where there's always a couple of bad boys. And, for example, if they're having a Sunday family get-together for a quinceañeros party or whatever, if the topic of the gringo they work for comes up, that's you, by the way, and the cleaning lady happens to mention that the lady of the house has a lot of nice jewelry laying around, the good stuff. And by the way, junk jewelry, gold-plated stuff down here is called chapiada, which means plated, chapiada, or fantasía, as in fantasy, spelled just about like the same word in English. So when somebody says joyería, which is jewelry, fantasía, they're talking about jewelry that just ain't worth stealing. Anyway, if at that quinceañeros get-together party, your gardener happens to brag that he works for a gringo, that is you, who has a big shed just chock full of all kinds of expensive first world tools, well, just know there's going to be a few bad boys sitting around that party. Could be that a nephew or two, or even your good old gardener's kid, are making mental notes of those things. But also note that when your cleaning lady or gardener mentions that you've got a Rottweiler or a Doberman or both, that'll quickly terminate any bright ideas amongst those bad boys. Now, like I said, I've had dogs like that in the past. And when I hire a new cleaning lady or maintenance guy, they're always deathly afraid and terribly nervous, at least at first, which, by the way, is good. Which is why for the first couple of days I put my dogs in their cages. And because there's someone new around the house and the dogs are suddenly locked up, inevitably the dogs get rambunctious and bark quite a bit. And to show you just how much fear a Doberman or a Rottweiler instills in the average Latin population, I've actually had cleaning ladies that never came back after that very first time seeing the dogs, even though they were in their cages. Not to mention, I've had cleaning ladies who would not enter the laundry room, even with the dogs locked securely there in their cages. So then you might ask, well, isn't it cruel then to keep your dogs caged up all day just so they have no contact with your cleaning lady and gardener? Yes, that's true. That's why you have to get your cleaning lady and gardener accustomed to, but always just slightly wary of your dog or dogs. And to do that, first, let your cleaning lady or maintenance guy feed your dog or dogs doggy treats or cookies through the screen while he's still in the cage. Then the next day, more of the same. And then, a bit later, you take your dog out and hold him tightly by the collar. And you give the cleaning lady or gardener a handful of doggy treats. Then, from a distance, let him toss a few treats at the dog, eventually petting the dog while handing him a treat. Now, you might know that your 100-pound dog is just a big baby and wouldn't harm anyone, but you can't show that in front of your help. It has to appear as if they can only make friends with it quite slowly. So you're kind of putting on a show for your help, making them think that the dog doesn't make friends easily. A little psychological game, you know? Always tell your cleaning lady or maintenance guy that your dogs absolutely do not like strangers. Then tell them this story that actually happened to me. Tell them that a guy you know with the very same breed of dog was driving down the road with the dog in his car. And at a stop sign, a pedestrian walked just a little too close to the car, and the dog broke the window of the car with his head and lunged for the guy. I'm serious, it actually happened. And as for the dog, the Rottweiler, no damage done. But the guy, who was walking with his bike, dropped the bike and ran like hell. Which means it's definitely a good story to spread around the neighborhood, if you know what I mean. Now, I think it's worth mentioning again why Latins are so afraid of dogs, especially the bigger ones. That's because in the big cities, especially in the lower middle class and middle class areas of town, there are wild dogs running around. Not everywhere, of course, but you see them once in a while. Now, these are street dogs that rarely bother people. However, since they are street dogs, they live by scavenging. And if you see one of these guys on the street, he's usually hanging around a discarded bag or a garbage pile. And I can tell you this, if you get within 10 or 20 feet of that guy, he's going to think you're honing in on his scavenging ground, on his eating territory. And he's going to give you such a look and show you such teeth, you'll think twice about getting any closer. That's it. Nearly all the bad boys in Latin America, criminals and such, live in lower middle class areas where dogs like that run free. Which means all of those bad boys have had encounters with dogs like that in their own neighborhoods, and they know better. So, that's why middle and lower middle class Latins have an inbred fear of dogs. Especially the bigger ones, because they know they can do a lot of damage. The fact is, in every middle and lower middle class Latin neighborhood, everyone knows of a dog attack and someone who's got the scars from it. And about those rumors and stories you hear about bad boys poisoning dogs and then robbing your house. By the way, I still occasionally get email questions about that. Anyway, I have heard all the stories and the rumors about that stuff too. But do note that in my 20-something years down here and all the countries I've been and all the people I've known, I've only heard of one case that can be substantiated. It's the only case I know of that isn't hearsay. In fact, a gringo English teacher teaching at a rich private school down here told me that a kid in his class, a kid whose dad was filthy rich and owned a lot of big plantations, had his dogs on the farm poisoned one day. But later, the English gringo teacher confessed that the kid said his father was always having labor problems. Turns out the poor folks that worked this guy's plantation had no love lost for the boss, and I don't mean Springsteen either. So, bottom line, his employees hated him because he treated them like crap. So, they got even and popped his dogs. So, all you guys and gals up north, when you come down here on your first trip, you'll probably go to Cancun or Costa Rica. Most people I know hit the tourist trail first. I did. So anyway, when you first get there and do get to talking to some gringos that you meet at the expat bar, bad idea by the way, and the subject turns to crimes and misdemeanors and you hear about dogs getting poisoned, do ask who's ever spouting that crap if they know of the person it happened to or it's just hearsay. Those are the questions I ask, and so far, except for the case that I mentioned, it's all been hearsay and no one's been able to give me a first-hand report. Enough said about that. And just a note about vets. You got them down here all over the place, including many large animal doctors, you know, horse doctors, farm vets. And of course, those guys are always out in small towns and in the boonies. And believe me, those guys have seen everything, so don't be afraid to take your dog to a horse vet. And by the way, they only charge about a third of what city vets might charge. And about city vets, you know, if you go to a middle-class neighborhood and find a vet, he's going to be about half the price of a vet in a high-end mall. Or a vet in a first-world-style business district. Because you see, a strange thing has happened down here in Latin America. In that tiny upper 2 to 5% of wealthy Latin Americans, they usually have purebreds and don't mind spending a lot of money on their dogs, as long as they can take their dog to a vet who's expensive enough so that no short, brown, common people will ever be sitting in the office with their pets. Mighty classist and racist, huh? Such is the not-so-subtle, rigid class system here in Latin America. Of course, nobody will actually come out and say that, but it's obvious if you ever go to one of these vets' offices. And you'll find those guys in upscale business districts and high-end shopping malls. But here's the kicker. Of course, they sell their own pet products. All vets do, right? So, what you'll see on their shelves are first-world gringo pet products. That's what their upscale clients want. And of course, their brand name's imported from the States, so you'll actually pay more for that stuff than you will at a vet up in the first world. Now, remember, it's that upper 5% of the gringo wannabe Latins that are bringing their dogs and cats and Gila monsters to these so-called first-world-style vets. And because of that gringo advantage, and in this case, disadvantage for them, upscale Latins come to believe that everything gringo is better for their pet. Which is why you'll notice here in Latin America, a lot of vets are driving vets, so to speak. Or something equally pretentious and unsuitable for the roads here in Latin America. So, what I'm saying is, vets who are practicing in upscale malls down here, they're the ones making the real money down here. In fact, a lot of them make much more than regular MDs do. And it's all because these idiot upscale copycat Latins just have to buy everything gringo. Now, that's not to say you can't buy a certain small selection of gringo pet products at places like Walmart and Costco. You can. And at much cheaper prices than the vet's office. And remember, Walmart is the biggest single employer in Latin America, so there's stores everywhere. At last count, they've got close to 2,500 stores. But still, and here's another kicker. If you want to buy organic, unadulterated, non-GMO food for your pet, oh yes, the high-end vets have it in small packages at hugely inflated prices because it's being shipped in from the States, of course. Which means, guess what? There's a huge opportunity for a gringo entrepreneur to come up with his own organic dog food. I'm sure the first one who does it in a big way and gets some nice packaging going will actually be able to get it into these Walmarts and Shopcos and make a killing. And as a matter of fact, you often see in the big newspapers down here that Walmart and Costco are actually having local trade shows looking for products produced locally. The fact is they'd rather buy stuff, whatever it is, produced nearby than deal with the hassles of customs and shipping coming in from the States, Europe, and China. So, you should always have that in the back of your mind if you're thinking about starting a business down here and marketing an actual product that could be stocked in stores. And think about it. With your gringo advantage, you can just take a walk through Costco and Walmart and look at the products they've got. And if you see something that you might be able to do yourself locally, just remember, with your gringo advantage and know-how and the very cheap labor down here, you should be able to beat the pants off of any product that's imported from the first world. So for all you expat wannabes and gonna-bees looking for a possible business opportunity, just come on down and take a walk through a Walmart or a Costco, and I guarantee you the wheels will be spinning. And you know, you can start small, very small if you like, and being a gringo, you'll probably get distribution rather easily. In fact, I know a local Latin guy who produces honey. He's got beehives. He started with, I think, 25, and now he's got close to 200. And guess what? He's selling to Walmart. He got his honey placed in the boutique section of Walmart. You know, down here, every Walmart has a little specialty section like that. And what makes his honey so special? Well, it actually isn't so special. He'll tell you that it's just because he's got a really fancy package. With, get this, a little net and a silk ribbon and bow around it. That's fake silk, actually, but it looks festive around the holidays, you know? So then you might ask, how did he happen to think of that? Well, this guy's parents are rich Latins, and he went to college up in the States. The guy has a business and marketing degree from some university in Pennsylvania. In other words, he's sort of gringo by osmosis. So yeah, you might say he's a rare case, but if he could do it, you could. Oh, and by the way, this guy does none of the dirty work. He never touches the honey or comes in contact with the bees or does any dirty work at all. He has two full-time employees who really know bees, and they get about $300 a month each. Oh, and by the way, the startup cost for this guy's venture, he told me it was a whopping $5,000. And best of all, he didn't even have to buy or rent the land. He's got a deal with a farmer who has fruit trees that benefit greatly from his bees. So anyway, there's a few ideas for you. But where was I? Oh yeah, talking about dogs. Now, believe it or not, down here in Latin America, there is no enforcement of any kind of pet ordinances at all. Yes, ordinances do exist. Latin governments copy everything first world, you know. But they often forget or just simply avoid to allot money for personnel, office space, vehicles, and inventory. That's why, even though there are leash laws, you'll practically never see a dog on a leash, except maybe at the vet or in a high-end first world-like area. But you'll have yours on a leash, right? Gringos are like that, you know. We have guilt about such things. Especially when we've had it pounded in our heads up north that you get fined for such things, and if your dog bites someone, you get sued and they take your house away. Well, not so down here. That would never happen. In fact, down here, for example, if the president was jogging by your house and your dog took a chunk out of his leg, probably nothing would happen. So I do encourage that, by the way. Now, changing gears just a tiny bit. Note in Latin America, you rarely see a freestanding house or housing development without a fence around the perimeter or a wall. Only the lower classes and the poor folks, the ones with tin roof shacks, generally have unfenced yards for two reasons. One, they can't afford to put up a fence, and two, they've got nothing worth stealing. So all you expat gonna-bees and wannabes know this. If your plan B is to buy some land down here and build a house, just remember, you'll have to put a tall fence around it, at least 8 foot, and that'll keep your dogs in and trespassers out. Now, note, a lot of people put up concrete block wall fences, which can run into some real money. I mean, the cost of labor is dirt cheap down here, but the materials for the cement and the blocks, etc., could still take a big chunk out of your wallet, depending, of course, how much land you've got. Anyway, just figure if you're going to make a cement block wall down here in Latin America, it'll cost you about half of what it would up in the States, but still a lot of money. Another alternative is to have a cyclone fence, which can be a good option if you have a nice view through the fence. But if you're looking right into a neighbor's front yard or at a row of dumpsters, well, you know what I mean. And about security with either type of fence, if it's a solid concrete and block fence, you won't know if someone's sneaking up on you, right? Unless, of course, you've got cameras all over the place. And, of course, with the cyclone fence, someone could just snip right through it if they've got some heavy-duty snippers. However, what a lot of people do who have cyclone fences is to plant fast-growing, thorny, creeping bushes. An excellent choice being bougainvillea, called bougainvillea down here, which has very sharp thorns and beautiful flowers, too. And since things grow so fast down here, after a while, those vines and thorns penetrate a cyclone fence almost completely, which is a good thing. Eventually, the growth gets so dense, not only can't you see through it, but soon enough, your skinny little cyclone fence gets between 4 and 6 foot wide. All dense plants and vines, of course. Now, that's quite a deterrent to anyone that gets near it. So, in the end, like everything else, both the block wall and the cyclone fence have their advantages and disadvantages. But a big consideration is the fact that a cyclone fence costs less than half the price of a concrete and block fence. Now, while we're talking about dogs, fences, and home security, note that almost anywhere in Latin America these days, except way out in the boonies, you can hire a complete home security service with cameras and sensors and direct internet connection for about $25 a month. So you can watch your house getting pillaged in real time on your smartphone while lounging at Starbucks or Hooters. But all joking aside, most of these services claim they'll be at your house in less than 10 minutes after an alarm goes off. So do they do what they claim? Do these services really work? Yep, I know quite a few people who have them, and they are quite responsive and do what they say. But how can that be, you might ask? I mean, this is Latin America, meaning everyone's on mañana time, right? Well, not in this case. Many of these services are first world franchises, and some even owned and operated by Israelis. In the security business, you can't do much better than that. All right, now let me remind you once again that I'm having an expat wisdom seminar in January 2015. It's a 6-day long hand-holding fast-track seminar designed to give you a 2 to 5 year head start on becoming an expat. So the question is, what are you going to do when the snot hits the windshield up north? Are you ready? In fact, many people in the know are sure it's going to happen within the next 12 to 24 months. What's your plan B? Hold up in the basement with pallets of water, food, and ammo? Your best bet is to have a way out where you can still live a first world lifestyle. And how do you do that? Well, make a plan and come on down to my Boots on the Ground event in January. Go to www.expatwisdom.com and click on the seminar link for full information. And remember this, when the next crisis comes, and it will, there'll be no seminars like this because even if you're ready to get out, Uncle Sam won't let you. Everyone knows you can't let the cows out of the gate if you're going to continue milking them. You know the clock's ticking, so don't get caught in the squeeze. Again, just go to expatwisdom.com, click on the seminar link, and do the right thing for yourself. And now let's take an email. And this one's from Ron. He says, Johnny, could you send us the plans for your water filtration system that you talked about on one of your last shows? And here's a question. Will this system filter out hard minerals? We're reading that kidney stones are a problem in Nicaragua because of all the minerals in the hard water. Love your podcast, Ron. Well, Ron, let's start with talking about that kidney stone problem. Now, you see that all over the place down here in Latin America, because it's true that most water is quite hard. You can see that by just looking at anybody's sink or toilet bowl or shower stall. The mineral buildup really is tremendous, and it's called sado down here. That buildup's called sado. Sounds almost exactly like the English word sorrow. Yep, it's true. All sinks, showers, tubs, and toilets look pretty darn awful except when they're brand new. So does that mean those minerals are clogging up your pipes too? Well, I personally know many Latins and some expats who've had kidney stones here. Now, get this. Nearly all people who've had them removed and analyzed find out they're made out of phosphoric acid, phosphate stones. And you'll find that urologists and nephrologists down here in Latin America will tell you that those kidney stones are not from the hard water, but from the huge increase in soda consumption, mainly colas like Pepsi and Coke. Now, you see, in Latin America, most people live in a tropical or semi-tropical climate, and they drink a hell of a lot of soda. The average Latin drinks 3 times as many prepared soft drinks and sodas than people living in temperate climates. And so the first thing a nephrologist or urologist tells a person who's had kidney stones is that he or she better drink more water and cut completely the soft drinks, which, of course, most Latins will never do. So then what about that very hard water you find in so many places down here? Now, that under-counter filter system that I use, the plans I'll give you for free if you send me an email, that whole system, by the way, will only set you back about $100. Anyway, it'll completely eliminate chlorine. And as for fluoride, well, you don't have to worry about it at all down here in Latin America because water is not fluoridated. And if that hardness factor really bothers you, you can't really taste it, by the way, you can add another standard canister in series to the system right at the end of the line. That would be the last stage before it comes out of your spout. Just go down to your local pool supply place. They're all over down here in Latin America. Naturally, it's tropical and people have pools, right? Or get on the internet and look up Pentek, P-E-N-T-E-K, and buy a WS-10 and use that in the added canister I'm talking about. It's a water-softening resin filter cartridge, a small version of a Culligan water softener. You'll see it's filled with little crystal-like beads. And you'll pay about $20 or $25 for that thing, and I understand they last up to 2, even 3 years. And you know, you can buy a little litmus paper testing kit at any pool supply to test the hardness of your water to see when the filter's depleted. So, add that filter and you'll be drinking softened water. But note, it won't do anything for the rest of your house. For that, you need a whole house water softening system with a big tank. Remember those Culligan units? Looks like a big welding or scuba tank sitting in your garage or in your basement. Remember those? Anyway, note that as far as the kidney stone thing goes, you really don't need to soften your water. In fact, many, many natural health specialists are saying that hard water is actually good for you, though not good for your sink, toilet, or hookah.
South of the border, down Mexico.
You've been listening to the Expat Files. Living in Latin America, coming to you twice a week from somewhere south of the border. Email me, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out expatwisdom.com to sign up for your free reports on Latin America. See you next time. Nos vemos. She was a picture. He knows.